for a shower.
Wait, what day is today?
Today is Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday's bad for me.
Thursday's perfect.
I don't know if you've worked with one of these. We call it a microphone.
Just let me know when I'm on, all right?
I don't know who you are.
Well, I'm something of a famous radio personality.
That sounds like a very familiar voice.
Are we ready?
It's time for a great day.
Showtime.
Yeah, it is Thursday. Rex Howard, good morning. Your WTOL 11 weather forecast. Some clouds. Although I did see a little sun, but maybe a rain-snow mix 47. It's still early spring and April, right? So, in studio guest, Jeff Dean, who I think, are you looking at my levels and saying they're too hot or something? Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Very funny.
Jeff Dean is in, and let's first talk about, you were a science teacher out at Arlington and language arts, too?
Yeah, 35 years, great school to have a career with, great bunch of people out there, and it was a very enjoyable career. I'm glad I don't have to get up and go to school anymore, though.
But you had to remind yourself to come in this morning, so.
Yes, you're that's
not
correct.
Not a morning guy, right? So then you were out of school, and then how did Dean Sound come about?
Oh, well, decades ago, I played in bands.
Oh, did you?
Until I was the last to realize I had no talent. And at about that time, we started purchasing our own audio equipment, and that seemed to come naturally, so the die was cast.
Excellent. So what instrument did you play?
Guitar, like everybody.
Guitar. Yeah. Rock and roller. Of course.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Dean Sound, your son, we were talking earlier, you were provided the sound for Sarah Evans at the Marathon Center.
That's correct. We do work there, Civic Center in Lima, Nieswanger Center in Van Wert, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And my youngest son, Jordan, who lives in Nashville, Lebanon, Tennessee now, but he was working with her right before COVID for about a year and a half.
Sarah Evans, yeah.
Sarah Evans. Mm-hmm. And then, so he came up and brought his wife and their little baby, Daisy. And my oldest son, who just came on the Dean Sound payroll March 1st, those two more or less handled the details. And I think I stopped up for about 10 minutes during the show just to look.
So he worked for Sarah Evans, and he also worked for Montgomery Gentry for a while.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep. He went to an audio school in Nashville and then worked with a couple of Christian bands for the first year after that. But now he sells insurance. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, but he came out to help with Sarah Evans. So
correct. Really
cool. Yeah. Talking with Jeff Dean, and it was probably, I don't know, 3 years ago at Balloon Fest, which you provide the sound, wonderful sound for out there. And you said, you mentioned something to me about the total solar eclipse that's coming, and the city needs to pay attention. They need to get ready. I'm like, what are you talking about, Jeff? Total solar eclipse.
Yeah. Well, we had, I was aware that really not too many people had heard about what was going to be happening here. Mm-hmm. And I'm an amateur astronomer, and I always pay attention to those kinds of things. I had a talk with the Marion Township trustees, because I live in Marion Township, and most of them were unaware. And then we had a little presentation at the Mazza Gallery. And then I also had a presentation for the Eagle Creek Historical Organization. And most people had heard about it, but were kind of unaware of how big of a deal it could be. In 2017, Josh, my oldest son Josh, and I drove down to Franklin, Kentucky, just south of Bowling Green, Kentucky, and then we headed about 20 miles west.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere, near a tiny crossroads. And this is why we chose it. It was very close to being almost exactly on the line of totality. There is a line.
Uh-huh.
This line up here goes right through forest. That's why the big deal with forest.
Right.
And we went down there and set up camp. We were able to find a lady that loaned us her yard, and other people came by, and we had about 15 people in the crowd. And we had all the supplies, telescopes, solar filters, drinking water, et cetera. And it was so profound that I became hooked. I mean, anybody sees one with anybody that has any degree of imagination sees it one time, and you really want to have the experience again. So it was it was sublime and an amazing thing. And it was a human bonding experience. I mean, it was a powerful thing, and everybody was charged, even people there that wouldn't normally be into science or astronomy. Mm-hmm. But this was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So I knew that it was going to be a big deal up here.
Talking with Jeff Dean about total solar eclipse, and Sarah Fultz, who was in here the other day, said that she was down there as well in Kentucky. Said it was like a communal experience with everybody.
It is. It would be similar to any activity people do where it's super positive and it's a surprise, maybe like winning a big ball game.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, way bigger than that.
Wow. Awesome. Talking with Jeff Dean, and we'll talk more with Jeff. And there are different types of solar eclipses. We'll talk about that and what maybe we can expect coming up here in our area on Monday. This is Chris Jansen, and we'll talk more with Jeff coming up. Your Country Now, 100.5 WKXA. All right, we're talking total solar eclipse here this morning with Jeff Dean. Your Country Now, 100.5 WKXA. And your WTL 11 weather, some clouds, maybe a rain, snow mix, 47 today. Jeff Dean in, of course, out at Arlington, a science teacher and language arts for like 35 years. And went to Kentucky in 2017, got to view the solar eclipse there, and was hooked ever since. Now, you've been to other maybe partial eclipses, but never a total.
So. Yeah, we've watched a number of them from our house over the years. And in 92, there was an annular solar eclipse. And at Arlington, we ordered solar shades for everybody from third or fourth grade on up.
Okay.
And went out on the track infield, and everybody watched it. And there, the position of the moon and the earth is such that the moon does not completely cover up the sun. So you have a brilliant gold band of sunlight all the way around the moon. And that's known as an annular eclipse.
Okay.
And that's pretty cool, but nothing tops a total.
So we have a total solar eclipse. So let's kind of take folks at the beginning and kind of summarize what we can expect on Monday.
Very good. I want to mention that there's a clip on YouTube that I've seen numerous times, and it's a guy that has one of those learning channels, you know, how they are.
Yeah.
It's a young hipster dude. I don't even know his name, but he's very good. And his channel is called Veritasium, Veritasium. And this is only a 5-minute clip, and he goes to Madras, Oregon, and he has a camera, telephoto lens, solar filter, parks himself on a hillside just outside of town with maybe 150 other people, give or take. And this is where that shadow of the 2017 eclipse came ashore. It was in Oregon, and then it raced across the United States and went offshore in South Carolina. So it took 3 hours, going at about 1,000 miles an hour. The shadow was 70 miles wide, give or take. And then it races across the Earth's surface, taking about 3 hours to do so. So you can imagine a line going across, all right? That's the line of totality where that happened. And he speeds up the partials, and then during totality, you see it in real time. The greatest part is not only seeing what it looks like and seeing what it looks like magnified, as he did with his telephoto lens, where you could see solar flares popping up over the edge of the moon from the sun, but he also would pan another camera around at the crowd, which is just as important to see people
reaction.
Become awestruck.
Sure.
You know, and that is thrilling to see. Mm-hmm. That completes the picture. It's not just a science thing. It's a human thing, too. So Veritasium eclipse, type that in. It'll come right up. Our experience, we had chosen this area to go down to because it was more or less the closest we could get to the line. Plus, it was close to Nashville, where Jordan lived at the time, and he drove up to meet us then. Yeah. And we had our watches set, so we could know exactly when when it was going to start, totality, and when it was going to end. And then the 14 or 15 people there, we all just gathered around and drank sodas and had our shades on and looked up and talked and got excited as you saw more and more of the moon cover up the sun. And then about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes out, then there comes a moment when everybody looks at one another and says, this is weird. Something's going on. Well, what you're sensing is that shadow racing at you at 1,000 miles an hour, and it changes the atmosphere where you're at. Colors start to drain. You hear different sounds. You can sense something coming. A breeze may pick up or slow down. You know, different insects may make different noises. And then you are noticing that it's becoming more and more into totality. And then as you're looking at it, the last little moments before you get to totality, you see these little speckles of light peppered around one of the sides of the moon, where the sunlight is now coming through the valleys on the moon. So you see these little points of light called Bailey's beads. And then right before totality, they kind of converge, and the last little bit of sun squeezes behind the moon, and it makes a little sparkle on one side of the moon, and the rest of the moon is kind of a little lit, so it looks like a diamond ring. So the diamond ring effect is the moment right before totality, and then totality hits, and you're slack-jawed, you know? You have the sun has turned black, and for most people, it puts a momentary fear into their heart, because you ever see the sun turn black?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, it works. It works.
Right.
But, you know, it scares you a bit. Imagine what ancient people thought. And then as soon as you get over that initial reaction, then you fall in love with this new darkness.
Wow.
And, you know, it's hanging up there in the sky with all of its white tendrils of its corona, like fluttering around it, like some kind of flower, like it's staring down at you.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. And then you can see all around you. If you look all around at the horizon, 360 degrees, it looks like sunrise or sunset. Doesn't get dark near the horizon. And then as you look further up into the sky, it fades and dims until you have a dark indigo overhead. And at this point, then you can see a few stars pop out because the sunlight's not blocking them out anymore. And then you could see maybe a planet or two. Streetlights might come on. We had silence. We didn't have any music playing or anything. All we had was this profound object in the sky drawing our attention and the sound of people's voices being awestruck.
Wow.
It was something. Then, you know, 2.5 minutes later there, 3.5 minutes later here in Finley, then you'll notice one side brightening and then the sun will pop out. And at that point, you need to put your solar shades back on. I do need to mention that you never want to look directly at the sun. So when you're looking at the partials leading up to the total solar eclipse or the partials after the eclipse, which last another hour or so, you should have your solar filters on. As soon as you get to totality and the sun turns black, or really the moon covers up the sun, you're not looking at the sun anymore. Take your solar shades off because you're going to miss the show. But just make sure you know when you have to put them back on.
Right. Amazing. Talking with Jeff Dean and about his experience in Kentucky and what we can expect here in Finley, as long as even, you know, it might be partly cloudy. I'm not sure, but it's still going to
be a show.
There's going to be a show no matter what.
Even if it's totally cloudy, you'll sense the change in temperature. For us, it went from 94 degrees down there to 80 almost immediately.
Wow.
And then as soon as the sun reappeared from behind the moon, went back up to 94.
So we start here 1:55 Monday, right?
Correct. And that's the beginning of the partials.
Gotcha.
And then at 3:10, give or take some seconds there, then totality occurs. And that's when the real moneymaker happens. And
right.
Then for about 3 minutes and 45 seconds or 35 seconds, roughly,
right
around where we're at. I think Forrest has a few more seconds.
Just a little. So that's the other thing is how many people are going to come in? What's traffic going to look like? That's kind of the big unknown. So what's your experience? What do you think is going to
happen? Well, it took us 5.5 hours to drive down to where we viewed it from, west of Franklin, Kentucky. We were out in the middle of nowhere. So once it was over, we went down and waited in this nearby tree-covered creek. It was a perfect day. And then we gathered up our stuff, packed up camp, hit the road. And the first 15 miles getting back over to I-65 weren't too bad. We saw a fair amount of traffic, but we were out in the middle of nowhere once again. But once we got even close to Bowling Green, Kentucky, it's like, oh, my gosh. And we started hitting our phones, the maps, to see, well, can we cut over to 75? It didn't matter which way you looked. It didn't even matter which direction you went. You better be prepared that it's going to take you a while to get there. Now, if you're just hopping across town, maybe it's not bad. Right. But getting out on the highway and then driving home to wherever is probably going to be what we experienced. Normally, 5.5 hours to get down there. It took us 13 hours to get home. So from Bowling Green, Kentucky to Louisville, we drive that way all the time, is normally 2 hours. It was 6 hours. I mean, stop and go. But it was cool because we were driving alongside the NASA van. They send out 4 or 5 all the way across the United States, and one of them got caught in traffic with us, and we followed it all the way to Louisville. And every rest area the night before on the way down was very heavily attended. But now it was, you couldn't even find a spot probably to pull in, fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
And then normally it's 2 hours from Louisville to Cincinnati. That was 4 hours. We didn't break free of the taillights till we were north of Cincinnati. But, you know, nobody was cheesed because they had just seen, you know, one of the shows of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And there's a reason people do literally travel halfway around the earth to see eclipses.
Wow. Well, good.
So enjoy. I'm amazed. It.
Yeah, yes. Enjoy it. Right, exactly. Right. Very good. Jeff Dean in and discussing the total solar eclipse and what we could expect here. Awesome stories. Much appreciated, Jeff. Anything we missed? I know you brought in a nice checklist there.
No, I mean, I think everybody's heard the whole story. It was one of the most sublime moments in my life. I mean, just having your kids, that's the one, you know,
right. Yeah.
Being married and all that.
Right.
And then, all the other things that you have that are these great days in your life, you know, this is one of them for most people.
Right.
Even if you're not into it, it's, you just don't see something like that. You know, and we've seen the comet fragment scars on Jupiter in 1994. We've seen, you know, comets aplenty and, you know, all kinds of things with our telescopes over the years that I've shared with the students at Arlington and other places, too. But this was, I got to say, this was right up there. And it's universal.
Yeah.
You don't have to know anything to be able to appreciate this. You just look up and see the majesty of the universe at work.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Jeff, for coming in.
Thanks for having me in.
We'll have to talk to you after. Share experiences. Thanks for coming in. Coming up, your WTO 11 weather and Matt with news.
Your country now. 100.5 WKXA.